Time for business now on the programme. Brian Quinn is here. He is starting with a major milestone for the Chinese economy. Its trade surplus has toppled $1 trillion for the first time ever, Brian.
$1 trillion, Stuart. And we are not even to the end of the year yet. A trade surplus, of course, the difference between the value of goods that a country exports and the value of goods it imports. China's customs agency announced Monday that from January to November, the country had exported $1.08 trillion more than it imported, topping what was already an annual record for the entirety of last year. And that comes in spite of an ongoing trade war with the U.S. In late October, Washington and Beijing did call a truce after several rounds of escalating tariffs. Still, November saw Chinese exports to the U.S. fall by nearly 29%. Chinese exports to other markets, though, are booming, notably to the European Union and the ASEAN group of Southeast Asian economies, where exports were up 15% and 8%, respectively. The historic milestone reflects Beijing's reliance on export manufacturing to drive the Chinese economy as domestic demand continues to slump. The OECD says it does expect the Chinese government to hit its target of 5% growth this year. Take a listen.
Less of the external environment, the tariffs and the pressure in foreign trade. China's economy performed well. China is in a transformation when it comes to the green and digital transformation. But China is also transforming its industry and the structuring industry.
Well, trade surplus might be welcome news for China. Not such good news, though, for Europe, Brian.
No, indeed. Europe is increasingly worried about Beijing's industrial policies, policies like heavily subsidizing the construction and operations of manufacturing facilities and keeping China's currency, the yuan, consistently undervalued. Such practices have the effect of flooding foreign markets, like Europe's, with artificially cheap goods. Products like electric vehicles, solar energy equipment, and consumer electronics. China now exports twice as much to Europe as it imports from the continent, and its trade surplus with the EU is only growing larger. In an interview with French business newspaper Les Echos published on Sunday, President Emmanuel Macron warned that Europe may be forced to adopt tariff policies on Chinese goods similar to the U.S. Macron just got back from a three-day state visit to China. Germany's foreign minister has just arrived there in China for a visit of his own. He says China's industrial overcapacity will be a key issue as his country's crucial car industry comes under increasing pressure from Chinese competition. Here's the German foreign minister.
I will address trade restrictions and overcapacity, which are causes of great concern to German companies. I'm convinced that Germany and China both have an interest in a stable global trade. To achieve this, companies need reliability and security. In the long term, this can only be guaranteed if everyone can comply with the rules of open and fair international trade.
Straight to the markets, how are they shaping up today, Brian?
Well, Chinese indexes mixed on Monday as investors digest that latest trade data. In a statement released on Monday, the country's central leadership committee vowed to try and boost the domestic economy next year in the face of international trade turmoil. The Nikkei in Tokyo, meanwhile, treading water as new data shows the Japanese economy shrank more than expected in the third quarter. Mumbai's Nifty 50, meanwhile, in the red, with shares of IndiGo Airlines down nearly 10% as the Indian government says the company may face regulatory action after thousands of flights were canceled last week. Here in Europe, major indexes opening fairly flat as investors wait to see if the U.S. Federal Reserve will in fact cut interest rates as expected. Analysts widely predicting a quarter point cut, but the bank's decision and its comments will set the tone for other central banks like the Bank of England and the European Central Bank as they lay out their own upcoming rate policies later in the month.
Now, finally for business, Netflix's planned acquisition of Warner Brothers. A big deal, huge deal, of course. Far from a done deal, though.
That's right, Stuart. The merger, valued at some $83 billion, promises to reshape Hollywood as the world's top streaming giant won out in a bidding war to acquire the historic studio behind hit franchises like Harry Potter, The Matrix, and The Lord of the Rings. But plenty of hurdles do remain, not least of which is the potential of the Trump administration to block the deal on regulatory grounds. Then there's Hollywood itself, which increasingly uneasy with the streaming takeover that has upended its old business models. Caroline Baum takes a closer look.
Netflix's $83 billion acquisition of Warner Brothers is set to change Hollywood forever. If it ever sees the light of day, that is.
Should they be allowed to buy Warner Brothers? Should Netflix?
Well, that's the question. They have a very big market share. And when they have Warner Brothers, you know, that share goes up a lot. So I don't know. That's going to be for some economists to tell. And also, and I'll be involved in that decision, too.
Before the deal goes through, it will need to be approved by the U.S. Department of Justice and EU antitrust regulators. As it effectively erases competition between streamers HBO Max and Netflix. Their combined catalogs would put the company over the 30% U.S. market share threshold. It was a surprise for some when Netflix came out the winner of the bidding war on Friday. Paramount Skydance, backed by Oracle founder and prominent Trump supporter Larry Ellison, was expected to bring home the deal. Some hypothesize that the president, who endorsed the Paramount offer, may still try to turn the sale in Ellison's favor. The merger is also under fire from Hollywood, who says it would lead to less innovation and fewer jobs across the industry. Unions say they are organizing and ready to mobilize.
This is not just a catastrophic business deal that could destroy our creative industry, it's the constitutional crisis exacerbated by the administration's demonstrated disregard for the law.
Despite these hurdles, Netflix says it is highly confident that the agreement will be approved. If the deal falls through, a clause in the contract states that Netflix must pay $5.8 billion to Warner Brothers.
So more to come with that Netflix deal. We'll be keeping a close eye on it, of course, here on Dressroom.
Sure you will. Brian, thanks very much. Brian Quinn with Business 4S.